World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Well, I always try to be honest with you. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. I'm not making that up. And my family, my wife, God, I love my wife. They think I'm getting old, senile. And I try to say to people, do you have any idea how much is in here? You have any idea? Maybe the gates are rusty to open it, but I'm sharper than I've ever been. But I don't remember little things. Like if you pin me down, if you pin me down, what day is it? I know it's somewhere in May. I know it's somewhere in May, and I know it's not the weekend yet. In fact, I said to my wife this morning, what day is it? What's today? Now, that ain't Alzheimer's. It's overload of information. And it's overload of information because basically that's what I do here. That's what I do. And we come here in the mornings, and again, I say this, I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I get up every morning and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do? And I get this debate. I have a debate that goes on internally inside of me. Culture, faith. Which do they want to hear about? Or, Lord, which one do they need to hear about? Do they need to be deeper in their faith? Or do they need to have an understanding of what's going on in the culture? And so people will say to me, Coach, enough of the Bible stuff. I want to hear what's going on with Epstein. And then I'll get those. Enough of Epstein. I want to know more Bible stuff. Right? So I don't know why you come here. I didn't mean that in a bad way. But it can't please everybody. Can't please everybody, all right? And I try to do both, and I try to present evidence. I'm in the midst of a fast. I'm not here to brag or anything. It's been a several day fast, and I'm still on it. And the tension around me is electric. My sweet wife and I, who I love more than anything in the whole world. Boy, we got in a kind of a little spat last night. I'm not telling lies on you, honey, but my discernment is almost through the roof. And she'll say, yeah, I'm not making fun of my wife. Please don't, honey, I'm not making fun of you. I'll talk about somebody else. I'll talk about Jared Heath and his wife. Jared Heath is saying, man, we got to fix this and this and this and this. And then his wife is saying, which he doesn't have. And his wife is saying to him, yeah, well, what about the bushes? What about the grass? What about, you going to fix that spouting? And so I find myself, you following with me? I'm heading down this trail. Well, the paper needs picked up, it'll get picked up. All that grass needs cut, it'll get picked up, right? And so I find myself in, I don't even know how to explain it. Like sometimes I'm living in two worlds. The two worlds attach. They attach. And I come here every morning. Look, I don't care if you agree with me or not. Sometimes I tell you, I don't know. I don't know what I believe, but I can read, I can listen, I can think, and I think it's a good thing to ask questions. What? Sometimes, friends, you have to have blind faith, but I want you to know this. Faith ain't blind. God gives us eyes to see. And sometimes when you're in the midst of that, what I call it the crucible, when you're in the midst of that crucible, you're trying to discern information. Trying to discern, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? And sometimes it's hard. because the pieces don't always line up. So, I mean, what Ray just put in there. So I want you to know, look, I ain't got no agenda. Try to get rich. Try to get famous. No, I'm just telling you, I don't. I'm 73, and I got a beautiful wife and a bunch of children. It'd be easy for me just to shut everything down and hunker down and just live my life. And it's always amazing to me that when we come here and I talk about something people disagree with, they leave. They leave. See, I don't know what you guys think. I think the Jewish issue is huge. Does anybody think that? The Israel-Jewish issue? I think that's huge. But as soon as I start talking about it, half the people get mad and leave. I just want to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Bible says, know this also, that in the last days, perilous time. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into some of that here today, right? So I'm going to confess to y'all right now, I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I believe. And all I know is this, that we need to attack the things that we can win. The things that we can win. And that's what I want to try to focus on today. And it's been a horrible 24 hours. Why? I'm fasting. Remember this, the Bible says that this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. Hey, Ray, what kind would that be? What does it mean, this kind? Spencer, see if you can find that. Google that for me. This kind. This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Howbeit, Spencer, I am going to send you some money. I really am. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Hey, what kind? What kind? You mean there are different kinds? There are different kinds of issues? Different kinds of spirits? Different kinds of strongholds? Different kinds? Yeah, I think there are. Different kinds. We're all attacked by different things. I want you to know this. I know I got some stuff here I'm going to jump into. The assault on the family is like nothing I've ever seen. Let me ride this horse here a second. I could go down a litany of people that I know right now. I hear from them daily whose lives are a mess because of family. Children issues, spouse issues, parent issues. Work issues. Somebody give me a thumbs up. It reinforces me, makes me feel better. And you would be honest, or you would be dishonest if you didn't say that a lot of your stress and a lot of your headaches are because of relationships. Relationships. Why? Because this Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity. Where two or more are gathered in my name, he is there. And folks, even here at Coach Dave Live, we ain't all on the same page. If I start talking about this issue, a third of you cheer. If I start talking about this issue, a third of you cheer. And a third of you boo. Or two-thirds of you boo. I don't want to talk about that. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about that. Right? And some of the greatest disharmony and disunity is in the body of Christ. Folks, other Christians. Other Christians. See, I expect the world to treat me like non-believers. I don't expect the believers to treat me like non-believers. Oh, I'm digging into it now, Ray. I'm getting close. I'm getting close to it. How about you? Your greatest headaches come from friends or foes? Hmm? Easy, isn't it? My greatest headaches come from those who I'm in relationship with. And we have a tendency, all of us have a tendency, our number one reaction is offense. Say, Spencer, see if you can find out what the scripture says about offenses. Jesus said offenses will come. And let me stop a second. Ask yourself this question. This is stream of consciousness. Why are you offended? If I question here today whether or not Israel are God's chosen people, Jews are God's chosen people, you know what comes, right? Offenses come. Am I allowed to question it? The Bible advises against holding on to offense. Labeling it as destructive trap that hinders spiritual growth and relationships. I love Randy Lunsford. I don't know if I agree with his theology. I love Alan Zipher. That guy would do anything for you. But I promise you this, Randy and Alan don't agree on theology. Is that what we break fellowship over? If we come in here and I start speaking against the rapture, how many of you leaving? Who told you that and why do you believe it? So, forgiving others, let me go back up here again. It urges believers to display wisdom by overlooking offenses. See, you could just say, oh, that's Coach Dave. He's always an a-hole. That's just the way he is. Overlook it. Why take offense? Forgiving others. Lord, I thank you that Betty's blind. I thank you that for Betty. And I'm sorry she's so blind. Please forgive her. Folks, that's what our reaction is supposed to be. Hey, or Lord, please open my eyes. Maybe Betty's right. Show me, Lord, if I'm missing it here. Instead, we get mad. We leave. Forgiving others as Christ did and maintaining love to avoid bitterness. The root of bitterness, I'm going to talk about here in a second. While noting that offenses will inevitably occur. Scripture emphasizes that maturity lies in grace rather than retaliation. Vinny in here? Because that's a boom. So here's some key biblical principles. Somebody just pulled this up on Google. What do you do when somebody gives you an offense? You overlook it. Proverbs says that a person's wisdom makes them slow to anger and that it's glorious to overlook an offense. I'm going to assume that what Betty just said wasn't intended to offend me. I took it. It offended me. But that wasn't her intention. You with me? Forgiveness is essential. Matthew warns that if we don't forgive the offenses of others, God's not going to forgive us our trespasses. Now look at me. That doesn't mean you're all lovey-dovey best buddies. You better, I got this. You better not let that root of bitterness grow in your heart. Somebody say amen out there. Somebody say amen. How many of you right now are carrying a root of bitterness? If I mention your ex-wife or your ex-husband or someone of your friends, huh? Oh, yeah, you better sense that bitterness. You better sense it. Because once it takes root, oh, my goodness. My wife said to me the other day, maybe it wasn't her. Somebody said, I don't want to hang around Joe. Not Joe, it's not you. I don't want to hang around Joe. I said, why? Why don't you hang around Joe? I think he's a great guy. And he said, because he lives in the past. He said, what? He's always talking about what happened to him in the past. Never gets beyond it. You have a 5-minute conversation with him, and he's going to give you a whole history of how he's been screwed over. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen, right? That's called a root of bitterness.
Boom.
Are you going to let that grow? Are you going to let that grow? Offense is a trap. Offense is often seen as the bait of the trap. The Greek word is skandalon. It's designed by the enemy to ensnare believers in bitterness and division. Ray, give me a thumbs up. I need reinforcement here. So you talking about me, Willis? Shoe fits where it. Bitterness comes to all of us. Handling conflict. If a brother sins against you, Jesus instructs us to handle it directly and privately to win the brother back, rather than going talking to 16 people on your email list and putting, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, slandering. Somebody offends you, shut up. Avoid causing offense. If Christians are urged not to cause others to stumble or be offended, friends, I don't try to cause you to stumble or to be offended. I don't. But every time, come on now, every time something happens to us, we run it through our memory and say, ooh, when did that happen to me again? Ooh, I remember Joe did that to me. Oh, I remember my ex-wife did that. Oh, I remember they did it to me at work. Oh, I remember. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you immediately find yourself sticking your toe in that old pit of crap that you crawled out of. Boy, this is good. Love covers it all. Look, there's some people who have done me great harm. The Bible says Alexander the coppersmith has done us great harm. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't let them control me. I've forgiven them, but I haven't forgot. But I'm moving on. Moving on. So if somebody, if I get in some chat here, I get in a conference with somebody, and they say, that damn Ray LeBlanc. You know what Ray LeBlanc did? Blah, 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 blah. And then I say, yeah, he did that to me. Come on now. Come on now. You want to be judged by the same system you're using? So I'm going to forgive Ray, but he ain't my best friend. I forgive him best I can. Maybe every day I got to forgive him, but I do. I forgive him because I'm called to. Maybe Ray didn't even know I meant to cause the offense. Ever happened to you? Find out somebody's offended and you say, what? Over that? They carry it the whole life and becomes a root of bitterness. Don't take, okay. Boy, this is good. Practical biblical steps, don't take it personally. Know this, that a lot of times people strike out of wounding. They're hurting. They're hurt. And they strike out. Do you ever have a sore spot on your rib? Or anywhere, doesn't matter where you rib. By the way, I'm having a miraculous healing in the midst of this fast. And you're okay, and you're moving around, getting, and then somebody punches you in the rib and say, oh, damn it! Right? That's the root of bitterness. Somebody pokes that wound. And when they poke that wound, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, why does that tick me off? Why does that tick me off? Okay, so don't take it personally. Some people just need to dump. You know what I'm saying? They just need to dump. They got to tell somebody. But be careful because it leads into gossip. Oh, yeah, she did that to me too. And you know, not only that, no, I was talking to Jared. You know, she did it to Jared too. Yes or no? Ain't none of that righteous. Misery loves company. Looking for somebody else who got screwed over as well. Of course, you never screwed anybody. Bible advises not to take to heart everything people say. As you know in your own heart, you have sinned and offended others. Do not share the offense. Instead of gossiping or complaining about the offender, take the matter directly to them in private, as shown in Matthew 18. If I got a problem with Ray, I'm calling Ray. I ain't calling Paul Gosselin. So Paul Gosselin can tell me about all the crappy things Ray did to him too. Boom, amen, amen. Then you end up on sides and teams and focus on God's grace. Realize that your security is in Christ, not in the opinions of Ray, not in the opinions of Trent, not in the opinions of Betty, not in the opinions of anybody else. I got to stand before Almighty God and give account for everything that I did. And a lot of times we get ourselves in a mess because we judge not what people do, but what they intended, their intentions. That coach, he's just a prick. No, I'm not. I'm a coach. I'm going to tell you this. If you keep walking around 40 pounds overweight, it's going to catch up to you. And you say, oh, well, you call me fat. Well, I'll try to take it however you want to. You can't act like that and get what you want. With me, I'm about done here. This is really good, I think. This is really good. So let me throw three things out there for you that's going to steal the Lord, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I wrote it down right here. Holy Spirit gave it to me today. Three things that you need to understand in your life and I need to understand in my life, okay? Number one, worry doesn't help. Worry is destructive. And I know a lot of you out there, including us, have things that we get up every day and we worry about. Finances, family, job, bills. You do understand, don't you, that the financial system is designed to punish you and keep you in bondage. You do understand that, don't you? You do understand that every dollar you have, someday is going to be somebody else's. Every dollar you have, every piece of property you have,
boom,
it's going to be somebody else's. And isn't it stupid that I would die or you would die and let somebody else to decide what to do with your money? It's going to happen, boys and girls. It's going to happen. Worry doesn't help. Okay. Number two, God is your provider. I have to say it. I'm not a name it, blame it, grab it, blab it, grab it guy. If you don't sow, you don't reap. And ask yourself this very simple question, because I ask myself, Lord, am I a giver or a taker? Just ask yourself that. When it comes to your opportunity to give, do you first and foremost think about what it's going to cost you? It's because if you look at it that way, you're not planting seeds. See, you're not planting seeds. You're sowing. When you give, you sow into the life of others. And then what happens? Fruit comes from somebody else. You get fruit from someplace you didn't even. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. And no, I'm not begging for money. I've said this before here at Coach Dave Live. I get 5 monetary requests a day. And most of them have never given a dime. Does that sound harsh? I'm just telling you the truth. And third thing, we need to focus on relationships. That's the most important thing going on in your life. Not your job, not your business, not your podcast. What is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his family, lose his friendships, and lose those things that really, really matter? And why is it so hard for us to say, hey, I'm looking just here at the screen, okay? Hey, Trent. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Rather than calling Chad and telling Chad how much Ray peed all over me. But come on, somebody say boom.
Boom.
See, we ain't act like Christians. The truth is, you can't even trust Christians. Because at the heart of us is selfishness. What's in it for me? When I die, hopefully the Lord gives me a few more years. I'm sitting inside this home, and on fake dollars today, I don't know what this home is worth in fake dollars. I don't know. If I go and check it, hey, folks, ain't nothing for a house to be worth $500,000 anymore. Everybody agree with that? Ain't nothing for a house to be worth $500,000.
Amen.
So when I die, Michelle and I, and you know, who gets us $500,000? You're all rich. If you own your home, you have any idea how rich you are. You realize that somebody's going to spend all your wealth? They're going to spend all your wealth? Why don't you redirect your wealth to people who can advance the kingdom? And no, I'm not begging for money. I'm trying to help you see the law of sowing and reaping. And so when people, I get requests 5 a day. You're at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries. By the way, a Christian business, okay? A Christian business. And hey, when they make a request, Coach, I need money. What do you think is the first thing I check? Come on. What's the first thing I check?
See if they've been given.
They ever given anything here? Because if Gene Schroeder gives money here, and when Gene Schroeder says, Coach, Coach, my car went, I need some help. Boom, Gino. That's what the Bible says. Bring all the tithe into the store. I don't agree with that. I don't believe in tithing. I believe it's an Old Testament law. Give freely. Give freely. And if you give freely, freely I give, freely I receive. Anybody in here right now, if Ray LeBlanc, I just see on the screen, Ray. If Ray LeBlanc called me and said, Coach, oh, damn, this happened. Look, Coach, can you help me out? I wouldn't hesitate to send Ray LeBlanc money. Why? Why, Ray?
Amen, because we give back and real
dude,
quick.
Dude, it's the law of sowing and reaping. Do you understand this?
Amen.
Moochers! That's why I don't believe. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go this long. That's why I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. I believe in giving. And I'll tell you something else. It's going to be a cold day in hell when I give 10% to my local church. I'm going to give more than that. I'm going to hang on to the church for smoke machines and you know, right? Well, I'm all over today, aren't I? Let me wind down here. Worry doesn't help. God's our provider. And focus on relationships. You know, there are people mad at me right now, and I don't even know it. And I don't even know why. So I dial the phone or I send an email. Sometimes I send emails because I get the time to collect my thoughts about what I want to say, right? And so I sent an email and said, I want you to know this. Here's what happened, and here's the way I took it. It bothered me. Did I take it wrong? Rather than just assuming somebody's an a-hole. He just an a-hole. He does that too, right? So I say, You go to your brother. That's why I call people who are no longer in the queue. The only I do. And they give me the stupidest reason. And do you know what's about? Come on, see what good we're doing here today, class. What's their number one reason? Why? Somebody help me out.
They don't like the truth.
Well, come on. What's the word I'm looking for?
They're butthurt.
Yeah, there's another word for it.
Disagree.
There's another word.
Offenses
will come. Offenses will come. And they get offended and leave. Well, this is so good. I ought to make it a 12-part series. By the way, I'm talking to me. Talking to me. I got some grudges out there. I do. We all have a tendency to live in the past. You want me to start talking about London, Ohio? When I was coaching down there and how the church ripped me up. Just. And it's hard not to carry that bitterness. Because I could tell you guys, I could tell you two guys' name right now. If nobody was watching, I would pee in their casket. That ain't of the Lord, folks. That ain't of the Lord. But that's how that root of bitterness gets in. I remember what they did to me. But I also remember this, that the Bible says that all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. So I ought to pick up the phone and say, hey, Mike. Hey, Coach Dave. Haven't talked to you in about 20 years. Hey, thanks for being such a prick. Oh, man, thank you for being such a prick and being a butthole and going behind my back. Man, oh, man, did it ever elevate me spiritually. God bless you. Thanks. Huh? When's the last time you did that? Because offenses will come. How do you handle the offenses? That's the question. You get bitter or better? Could it be possible that some of the things that they accuse you of are true? Or at least the way it's perceived. How many of you know somebody, you try to get them to watch Coach Dave, and they don't want to watch it because I yell and all that, see, right? Because what? They don't know me. I'll bet you this. I bet Betty would defend me to the end of the earth. Because she knows that when I yell, it's for a purpose. Enough about me. This wasn't even where I was going to go today. But we went there, didn't we? And one email I want to pull up the Make Us Dangerous email. This was sent to me today, and I just thought it was really good. See if you preach this in your church. This is from Jim Elliott, Martyr of the Lamb and missionary to Huaranian natives of Ecuador. We are so utterly ordinary, Christians are talking about, so commonplace. While we profess to know a power the 20th century does not reckon with. But folks, we're harmless. And there, they are unharmed. We are spiritual pacifists, non-militants. Conscientious objectors in this battle to the death with principalities and powers in high places. Meekness must be had for contact with men, but brass, outspoken boldness is required to take part in the comradeship of the cross. You want to go along, get along, that's meekness. You'll make a lot of friends. We are sideliners, coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers, while content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. Benny, this is a boom. The world can't hate us because we're too much like them.
Boom.
Oh, that God would make us dangerous. Funny, because Michelle's up there, I can hear rustling around. What's going on my tombstone? Betty, anybody out there remember what's going on my tombstone? Proudly going on my tombstone?
Here lies a dangerous man.
Here lies a dangerous man. Dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. We got to get beyond this, the people pleasing. Real quickly, Craig, I'm going to bring you in here. I'm going to D.C. this weekend, and I tried to make plans for people to be able to ride with me and all that stuff, and just got so I messed up on my schedule when I had to go and when all that kind of stuff. So those of you who wanted to catch a ride with me, I've tried to communicate with you. Michelle and I, we got to go because we have a different schedule than what everybody else has. And by the way, folks, if you get a chance to go there, go. go this weekend to Awake America.
DC, yeah.
And DC, that's where we're going to be this weekend. So, straggling, carrying along a lot of stuff. And Monday night, we're having a gathering at Sky High. Come, bring a snack if you want to. We're just going to, everything that's going on DC on Saturday and Sunday, the rededication and all that stuff. We're just going to kind of rededicate Sky High. And I'm not picking out Sky High because of anything other than that's the heart of our ministry and what we do. If you're local and you'd love to come, just come. Bring a little snack with you. We're going to pray and fellowship a little bit. Nothing special going on. Won't take a lot of your time. We're in and out in an hour is what we're going to try to do. And you're saying, what time is it? What time is it? Well, it's funny. It didn't say there. What time is it, Michelle? 6:30. I love her. She and I had a doozy last night. All sharpened swords, huh? 6:30, Monday night. Boom. Okay. What have I forgotten? Oh, I got so much stuff. It doesn't matter. Come on in, Craig. I'll see Craig this weekend. I'll see some of you this weekend.
Well,
Hang on, Craig. Hey, folks. I just want everybody to know this from my standpoint. I have a lot of apprehension. A lot of apprehension, even though we're going back to Washington, D.C. to honor God, invite God back in 250th anniversary, invite God back in. There's a devil loose, man. There's a devil loose. And I think those of you who can't go need to pray that nothing nefarious or demonic happens while we're there. Hey, anybody remember January 6th where we all just showed up and wanted to petition our government for redress of grievances and how the wicked ones, what they did with that. So my antenna are up. Just my antenna up. We need to be praying towards that. Craig, come on in.
Well, a couple things there, Coach. One of you indulge. I think this will fit into your program if you want to devote a few minutes to it. But anyways, speaking about bitterness, okay, here's the things. The coals of bitterness are only flamed up when we blow on them. Okay. And so the greatest thing that we can do is read the end of Genesis when Joseph said, what you intended for bad, God intended for good.
And they ran me out of coaching. And then, hey, that's a good thing, wasn't it, Betty? Betty, would you rather me be coaching the Lakewood Lancers or doing this every morning?
Yes.
That's right. Well, because that might have been
that God had you do for other things in his kingdom. So you got to just go back and say, okay, well, where are we at today? But what I raised my hand for, Coach, and last Saturday, the Lord said, go over the Appalachian Trail, over Interstate 70, anoint the roadway, put salt on it. And I'm doing it, and you know how I am with numbers and everything, because Steve Deck, love Steve Deck. Would never met Steve Deck if I didn't have Past Salt Ministries. We went to the beginning of Interstate 70 and 40, and when we read Psalm 70 and Psalm 40, we prayed over that. But anyways, Lord said, 80 days of Psalms, Craig. You say, prayer and fasting, some of these things don't come out. Okay. 80 days. Read the last 80 Psalms. So Liberty Mel, if you wouldn't mind pulling that up, Spencer, I initiated.
Hang on, Craig. Stay right there a second. Monday night, not Sunday night. Monday night. Good. Keep going. What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. said read 80 Psalms. Read the end of Psalms because it's at 150, right? And I'm standing at 70. So today is Psalm 74, and Liberty Mel actually put a couple things in there extra that I wrote in there that I didn't get to. Put in on Tuesday, I think, when she mentioned this action. And here's another thing. This is why these actions are pretty powerful when you tie them to Psalms. Psalms is very unique. One is, remember when Biden was in presidency and it was Christmas and then Pam and I went down and walked around the White House? We read like 12 days of Psalms, right, for like the 12 days of Christmas. Then, if you remember, April 1st last year, it was 21 days of Psalms, right, because they were going to go to war with Iran, which we ended up doing this year. So anyways, today is Psalm 74. If you want to follow along, those folks, all right, if we read Psalm 74, Coach, I think that will be a blessing to what you're talking about. And then what I would also do is maybe read that little extra that I put in there on the action today, Coach.
I'm looking to see where I got it, Greg.
It's on your screen.
Okay. Ask the question again. I'm sorry.
If you could read that for everybody.
Yes, 80 in the Bible. 80 in the Bible is associated with foundation, yesod, and strength. In biblical context, it can also represent the start of freedom from oppressors. Let me stop there a second. The significance of the President of the United States rededicating America to Christ is, folks, come on, hang on. Now, I got to say, Craig, I'll come back. I don't want you to forget this. Somebody sent me an email, and they said, what happened to the name of Jesus? And I looked at it, I said, what? And they showed me a prayer that Franklin Graham sent out. God bless Franklin Graham. And he never mentioned Jesus. God, 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 God. Which God? Which God? Which God? I don't want you to use that name. Jesus. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The name of Jesus, not God. So 80, we've celebrated many 80-year anniversaries lately, dropping off the first atomic bomb. Is that right? On August 9th, 80 years, the ending of World War II. The current year, 2026, is becoming a accumulation of various wars, upcoming food shortages, job losses, AI data centers. Boy, have I got a story on that. A world in confusion, conflict, and division. Okay, everybody stop and say, boom. Thumbs up, boom. Craig, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable, right? They're trying to make people obsolete. Data centers make people obsolete. AI making people obsolete. 80 days of intercessory psalms is being called by refiners' fires. As America gets ready to rededicate the nation back to God on May 17th, let us carry our prayers to the Most High God, which mercy, justice, and righteousness will again ring loudly over this nation. The biblical-based morality guides and that leads our way. The Christians maintain freedom from government overreach and that religious liberty continue to be heralded over the land. May our nation have reawakening and revival back to our founding Christian principles that developed the foundation of this country culturally, religiously, and in governing laws and jurisdictions. Starting on May 10th, reading Psalm 70 and finishing up 80 days later on Psalm 150 on July 29th through 22nd. Craig, I apologize. We haven't been real faithful to do that, have we? We haven't.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but maybe you could read Psalm 74 today.
Well, maybe I could. You want me to?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that would be a good thing because here's what's ironic, Coach. When I did that, I was like, gee, I'm going to follow this out. Guess what psalm ends up on Sunday, May 17th, 77, Psalm 77, right? So like the Lord's given me, you know, clarity that these things are important and that he wants to hear his people pray. And he doesn't want you to just go, okay, hey, I want the nation dedicated to God. And then Monday you go back and you just live your best life now. You know, we're going to have to be the ones that carry the ball. And we're going to have to be the ones to push and say, okay, which God are you talking about? Are you talking about Jesus Christ or are you talking about Allah? Because
which one's Franklin Graham talking about? Hey, folks. Hey, I'm sorry. His daddy, Billy Graham, was a big old Mason. What God was Billy referring to? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So
God, what's his name? Say that name.
Amen.
So one of the things here, Coach, is, okay, you're talking earlier about, okay, when you die, right, you go to dust, everything that you're leaving. Okay, this is a fight over the earth right now. This is a fight over the land of America, right? This is literally a battle right now in the spirit realm over the possessor of who is going to be worshiped over this land.
Amen.
And it's up to the American people. So therefore, it's up to us who understand the significance of this moment to herald that cause. This is about Christ. Nothing but Christ is King.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Craig, not the great creator of the universe. I mean, that wouldn't work. We use that name.
Not the great architect with a.
The great architect of the universe. That,
yeah, he doesn't need a square and compass. He speaks. Hey,
you talking speaks. To me, Willis? You talking to me, Willis? You yell, God, you talking to me? You talking to me? Right? Why? Because angels obey his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Not God, not Muhammad, not Buddha. The name of Jesus. Not your pastor. You can use that name. It's good. Keep going, Craig.
Now, let's go ahead and read the Psalm 74, and then I have one more scripture verse that I think will sum up everything, and we can move on.
Awesome. Let's see, who's going to read it for me today? I'm going to pick somebody here. A little bit of audience participation this morning. All right, go ahead, Dave Allison. You got that in front of you? Can you read that, Dave? Read it as a prayer? I don't know, but Dave may be in his car. I don't know. I shouldn't have done that.
I can read it, Coach. It's
okay, Eileen said she'll do it. By the way, Eileen, I keep forgetting you, man. We got to get you some money. Got to get you some money. How's the campaign going? Good?
Absolutely. It's all every day just watching God work. And I sent Randy a text from, I think, show on Tuesday, and he just after show. And he just really lifted me up and said, you know, to participate with God.
Amen.
It's
not about winning. It's about being the testimony there, right?
And, you know, and the scripture says, you know, Joshua 1:3, wherever soles of my feet are, so goes the kingdom. I mean, Amen. They're already attacking me and mocking me for my faith. And these awesome. Are these are Christians. They said, oh, she ran because Jesus came to her in a dream. I don't ever remember saying that, but you know what? Okay. Hey, that's right. All right. Let's read Psalm 74. Yes. Oh God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old.
Wow.
We lost which you. Thou hast redeemed. This Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy has done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine eyes roar in the midst of the congregations. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations.
Where are they? Hang on, Eileen. Where are they roaring? Where are they roaring?
In the church.
Oh.
They set up their ensigns for signs.
Oh, man.
What's an ensign? I thought it was a pill.
Title?
Oh, okay.
Own words, title? Huh?
A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Wow. Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters.
Wow.
Thou breakest the head of the Leviathan in pieces.
So much for God loves everybody.
And gave us him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter.
Thank you,
remember,
Lord.
Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of the poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty.
Wow, and let, amen.
And let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually.
Wow, it's a war, baby. It's a war. Wow. It's a war. It's a war.
Thanks, Coach.
By the way, you caught me off guard there when you asked what an ensign. It's a sign. It's a notification of who you are. It's an identifier. An ensign is your flag that you fly. Okay, so we're Christians, right? That's our ensign. That's our flag. Thanks, Eileen.
Craig. So last thing, Coach, is Spencer, turn to, if it's okay with you, Coach, to James 5, verse 9, and then just finish out the rest of James. This ends up his book, but it's very, very powerful. It talks about being faithful to doing these psalms, right, every day until July 29th, because it talks about the fervent prayer of a righteous man.
So I can attest that I've been negligent in that. Okay. Okay, cool. I'll get that in a second.
Just start at verse 9 there, Coach.
Okay.
And then read the rest of it to the end.
Scroll down a little bit if you can, Spence. There you go. Grudge. Wow. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Hey, Spence, real quickly. What does Mr. Webster say at grudges? To be discontented at another's enjoyment or advantages. To give or take unwillingly. Wow. Okay, go back. Go back. To be unwilling, reluctant. Be unwilling, grudge not against another brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth for the door. Take my brothers, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction. Our prophets today are on satellite TV raising money and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You'll never find anybody with a softer heart than Christ, ever, ever, ever. But he's just. But above all things, my brothers and sisters, swear not, don't take an oath, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, Masonic, whatever it might be. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. How many of you think that people who took the oath of office in Washington, D.C. have kept their oath? Thank you. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Well, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Well, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anybody know the last time that ever happened in your church? And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. spiritually. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Huh? Huh? Effectual, fervent, righteous. Elias was a man subject to the passions we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And I'll be daggone. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth the fruit. Brothers, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know. Hey, you know what you said that day? You know what you said on the show that day, Randy? Randy, I want you to know that made me go do some of my own research. I went and did my own research. And whoa, Randy, now I see. You with me? Let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Wow, that's heavy, isn't it? That is heavy. He ain't heavy. The songwriters are smarter than us. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And I wonder how many of you, not just picking me out because I'm sitting here, I wonder how many of you pray for me rather than gossip about me. Not just me, each other, right? Get on the phone and start talking about blah, 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 blah. David Arthur had his hand up and disappeared. You still want to come back in, Dave? I got 4 minutes.
Yeah, hey, Coach. I saw it was just about 4 minutes, but try to do this quick. So yesterday I get to the hotel, and it was a cheap hotel, but it was what it was. And who walks into the lobby while I'm there but a man dressed like a woman? Oh. And he starts ranting and raving to the Indian guy behind the counter how he wants his money back because he got bit by bed bugs. And instantly in the spirit, I knew he was lying. And the guy looked at me and he says, "We don't have bed bugs." I said, "I believe you." The drag queen says, "What do you mean you believe him? They have bed bugs." I said, "No." I says, "I don't believe you because I know you." And he looked at me. I says, "I know you because I was you." I says, "And I know, cheap hotel, you're a man dressing like a woman." I was like, "You have addictions and you need Jesus." And he goes, "I don't need anything." I says, he said, "I'm calling the police." I said, "Well, you can call anybody you want. You want to call on the Lord. Can I pray for you?" And he cussed me out and said, "I'm going outside. I'm calling the police. They're going to arrest you because you're hating on me." So I finish checking in. I walk outside. He's sitting there. I don't say anything. I walk past him and he says, "I know Jesus." And I looked at him. I said, "Does Jesus know you?" And he looked at me and I says, "Please let me pray for you." And as uncomfortable as it was, I laid hands on that man and I prayed for that man. And when I said amen, he immediately got up and walked away from me quickly. So I knew it touched him. And I knew that was exact. I wasn't going to go there because it was a cheap motel. But I knew it was exactly where I was supposed
to. Yeah, you're a cheap guy, right? You're a cheap guy. Oh, my goodness. Blessings, Dave. Hey folks. Look, David, you're breaking up. Hey, folks, I got a minute. I'm telling you, we are in the middle.
All we have to do is show up. I'm a cheap guy.
I know where that's coming from. We already said it. Folks, we are in the crucible. We are there right now. Keep your eye focused on the Lord, and whatever he says unto you, do it. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow. God bless.